Hi, this is Aaron Newcomb, and on this episode of Floss Weekly, Gareth Greenway joins me to talk about RDO, which is a distribution of OpenStack for Red Hat Enterprise Linux, kind of a community distribution, if you will. That's coming up right now on Floss Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Aaron Newcomb and Gareth Greenway, episode 273, recorded on November 13th, 2013, RDO. Hi, I'm Aaron Newcomb, and welcome to this episode of Floss Weekly, the show where we bring you great open source projects to talk about, really fun stuff, and today is no different than that. We've got a really exciting project coming up, but first, let me introduce my always wonderful, always pleasant co-host that actually I've never done this before with, but I know him from SoCal Linux Expo, so let me bring him on right now. That's Gareth Greenway.
Thank you, Aaron, for that nice introduction.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't done this before, but thanks for joining the crew. It's been nice to see you lending a hand and giving your input on a lot of these really cool projects that we do. And like I said, I know you from SoCal Linux Expo, where I've come down and done some stuff for my previous podcast, The Source Show, and really just like going down because it's a great show. Everybody should go if they can get to Los Angeles. I think it's usually, what, February timeframe?
It's usually around the end of February.
Yeah.
This year it'll be February. I'm going to mess up the dates, even though I've spouted them several times over the last week. 21st through the 23rd, I believe, somewhere around that ballpark.
Something like that.
The website has all the information.
Right. SoCal Linux Expo, right? Is SoCalLinuxExpo.org?
Yep, that's the one.
So go there and find the dates for sure. But anyway, so it's great to be doing a podcast with you. It's our first one that we've done together, so it's kind of fun for me at least. I hope it's not a drag for you. But
no,
this will be a lot of fun.
Absolutely not.
This will be a lot of fun. So this is actually, we've talked about OpenStack before on the show. We've talked a lot about cloud computing. And today we're going to be talking about a Red Hat initiative called RDO. This is kind of neat because it is involved with OpenStack, like I said. Gareth, do you know much about RDO and what they're trying to do over there at Red Hat?
I don't know. I mean, I've played around and read a bit about OpenStack in general, and I know Red Hat is heavily invested in it, but I don't know specifics about RDO, but I'm interested to hear about it from our guests.
Yeah, definitely. We do a lot at my work over at NetApp. We do a lot with OpenStack, and I know Red Hat's been involved with OpenStack since nearly the beginning, and maybe we'll get a little bit of history on that in just a minute. So let me just introduce our guests a little bit. Our guests today come to us, both of them from Red Hat. First of all, we have Dave Neary, who's a community manager for Red Hat, where he works with projects including RDO and Overt, so I'll have to ask about that as well. Prior to joining Red Hat, he had a long history of participation in open source projects, including GIMP, GNOME, OpenStack, MAMO, and MIGO over the past decade. He's also an avid long-distance runner and accredited athletics trainer, including running a 75-kilometer race at night in December from Saint, my French isn't good, Etienne? I don't know, to Lyon. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then we also have Rich Bowen. Rich Bowen's been around open source for 15 years or so, working on Apache HTTP Server, Perl, PHP, OpenStack, and a variety of other projects. He's a member and the executive vice president of the Apache Software Foundation. Rich is the OpenStack community liaison for the RDO project, which is a distribution of OpenStack for Red Hat Enterprise Linux and related distros. And you can find him at drbacchus.com or at rbowen. So Dave and Rich, welcome to the show. Rich, how are you doing?
Doing great. Good to be on the show. Thank you.
There you are. Well, I lost your audio there for a second. So I think to start with, we should ask you guys, just to give us a high level, what is RDO? How long has it been around? We mentioned that it was part of or used OpenStack, right? But tell us a little bit more about it. What is it, and how did it come to be?
So OpenStack's been around for about 3 years. And like you said, you've talked about that on the show before. RDO is a project that's been around since about April. And what we wanted to do is provide a distribution of OpenStack for for deployment on Red Hat Enterprise Linux and derivative operating systems like Fedora and CentOS, Scientific Linux. We also wanted a place for people to discuss issues relating to deployment on these platforms. And so there's a forum on there, some mailing lists where people can get help on these particular packages. So on the software side, RDO is the packages, the RPMs, and a collection of Puppet scripts that are put together in a system called PackStack that automates the process of spinning up an OpenStack installation. So OpenStack is complicated. It's a number of different modules that do different things, compute, networking, storage, and so on. And you might run those on several, you know, tens, even hundreds of different servers. So the process of bringing up an OpenStack installation can be really complicated. PackStack automates that, gets the various pieces talking to one another, and does this hopefully in a way that gives people success the first time around, gives them a way to spin up an OpenStack instance and start playing with it.
So it was interesting to me, when I went to the website, there was no, I mean, it says RDO is here. Here's this about RDO, here's that about RDO, but it never said what actually RDO stands for. I mean, I made some assumptions that it's Red Hat distribution for OpenStack, or how did RDO, the acronym, come to be? Because at first, I kind of got this confused with RDO, the streaming music service.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, we're going to be talking about music. And then, of course, as soon as I saw who was coming on and what we were going to be talking about, it was obvious that that wasn't the case. So what does the acronym actually mean, or does it mean anything? Maybe it's not meant to mean
anything. Well, it's actually one of the things that's in our frequently asked questions. And RDO does not stand for the Red Hat distribution of OpenStack. It doesn't stand for anything. And of course, that's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek answer. You know, it's kind of like RPM that started out emphasizing Red Hat in the name, the Red Hat Package Manager. But we want this project to be completely community-facing. And so we're kind of de-emphasizing Red Hat in this, and it's becoming more of a community sort of thing. So officially, it stands for nothing at all.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You guys can do whatever you want. but it was just interesting to me that it kind of made sense to me, but then it was like, well, maybe I don't know what it actually means. So, how did this get started? Is this something that has taken a long time? I mean, obviously, you know, Red Hat's been involved with OpenStack for a while. Is this customer driven? Did customers come and say, hey, look, we want a distribution that's solely focused on OpenStack because it's difficult for us to manage, our installations and things like that?
So one of the things that you said it earlier, Red Hat's been involved in an engineering level for a long time. Mark McLaughlin, I believe it was over 2 years ago, around August, almost 2.5 years ago, made the first commit from Red Hat upstream. So we've been involved in an engineering context in this project for a long time. It's obviously a very, very promising project, and the amount of momentum around OpenStack now is pretty impressive. But really, it wasn't ready to be productized in our view until quite recently, and obviously we wanted people to get OpenStack and to get their hands on it and to be able to use it on RHEL and on CentOS and Scientific Linux and Fedora. So it's been available as packages on Fedora for a long time, but what we wanted to do was really create a center of gravity, a place where people would go to get OpenStack on Red Hat, and we wanted to do that for the latest, the most up-to-date possible packages. So we're building off the very tip of what you can get from the OpenStack project. The latest stable releases are packaged. They're available pretty much the day of the release, or the day after. So, you know, it's really about getting OpenStack into the hands of Red Hat users. And, you know, there was a lot of demand for that, and we're happy to meet that demand.
And how long has this been going on? I may have missed that earlier. How long has this actually been available for folks to download and install?
Yeah, the project was announced with PackStack and with the RPMs at the same time as the Grizzly release. So that's April 2013.
Okay.
But OpenStack's been available on Fedora for, I think, about 18 months now. So the RPMs for the specifically the RDO project was launched in April.
And explain to me a little bit more again why I would choose this over doing it myself. Is it simply because, what work does this distribution take out for me that I don't have to worry about anymore? Was there a lot of confusion, or is it a matter of having the right libraries installed? Is it a matter of the fact that the OpenStack packages are or weren't before this very well supported in terms of libraries and kernel support, and this kind of standardizes on a specific kernel with the specific features and blah, blah, blah?
So the primary artifact of Upstream, what you get from the OpenStack project, is source code. As with most open source projects, that's kind of the main thing that you're getting. So taking source code and then getting a working OpenStack system with all of the moving parts that are involved in OpenStack, including identity, compute services, and all of the storage services that you need, from image storage, object storage, and block storage, getting all of those things working together is, for somebody who's coming to it, it's like building Linux from scratch, right? It's really comparable to that. It's you're taking tens of components that you need to install, and you got to do the integration yourself. So what RDO does is it makes the packages all available, so it's pulling in all the right dependencies. And second, it makes the integration of those pieces together so that you can use it straight away very, very simple.
Are there other distributions or other solutions out there in the marketplace that are essentially doing the same thing? I'm guessing there may be other vendors that are trying to pull off the same thing that you guys are, or is this unique in the space?
There are others. There's, because as Dave mentions, OpenStack is a complex system of pieces. There are a number of different vendors that have packages for doing this. Dell's got something called Crowbar. There is a distribution thing called DevStack, which is what you would use if you're actually developing OpenStack. Mirantis has a product called Fuel. So there's a number of different solutions that tend to be focused on different ways that you might implement OpenStack. If you look at the OpenStack website, if you look at the instructions for spinning up an OpenStack cloud, it's 5 or 6 pages of instructions. And when you're using RDO, it's 3 instructions. So a common method is to use Puppet or Chef to automate the process of bringing up the various components and having them talk to one another.
Mm-hmm. And before we get too far into this, too, I mean, just all these questions are kind of setting the playing field here so we can have this discussion. But we probably ought to mention, in case people don't know or just are too lazy to go Google it, I mean, what is OpenStack? What are the components in OpenStack? What does OpenStack do? We should probably get that out there, too.
So OpenStack is a system for spinning up your own private cloud. Or, in the case of companies like Rackspace, a public-facing cloud. As a project, OpenStack started about 3 years ago. Rackspace and NASA got together to develop a solution for their infrastructures. And over the last 3 years, dozens of other companies have gotten involved. Rackspace and NASA were working with a commercial cloud provider that wasn't providing them the functionality and the control that they wanted, and so they wanted to come up with their own solution to this. On the organizational side, OpenStack is a foundation involving, like I said, dozens of projects, and these companies who are largely competitors with one another are cooperating on this OpenStack open source project to create this software. OpenStack as a community is growing in leaps and bounds. Last week, we had the OpenStack Summit in Hong Kong, and there were over 5,000 people there, I hear. And the conference keeps growing exponentially each time it's held. On the software side, OpenStack is very modular. So there's a component that does networking and compute and storage, both block storage and image storage. There is an orchestration piece. There is a metrics piece. And each one of these components can run on, and usually does run on, a separate server or separate virtual machine. And then there is an integration piece that ties all these bits together and gets them to actually talk with one another. So it's pretty complicated to get it going, which is, again, why something like RDO is so valuable.
And this really started kind of as a response to the growing interest in cloud computing in general, right? With Amazon AWS, people wanting to roll out their own clouds. How do we do this? And I think, not being, super, super tight with the people that were involved at the beginning, but I think that the way this happened was people said, hey, we want some standards, right? And hence the name OpenStack. Like you say, it's kind of a modular architecture, and different bits of it are managed in a modular fashion in terms of oversight and things. But it started as a way to have, hey, let's have some standards that we can all agree to, right?
Pretty much, I mean, I would say it's infrastructure as a cloud is bringing the two things it brings is the elasticity, the ability to create compute. So when we talk about compute services, really the easiest way to think of it is you're creating a computer in the cloud, right? It's on somebody else's managed infrastructure, and you have a self-service, you have a portal, a way to create that resource in the cloud. And really, OpenStack was a way, I think, to start working towards a standard, to start working towards a collaborative implementation of infrastructure as a service that people could work on together, to use a kind of a corny portmanteau, co-opetition, cooperate on the platform and then innovate above it. And certainly it's worked very well so far.
And like so many important open source projects, OpenStack was created to solve a particular need. It wasn't just a standards effort. It was also an effort from two companies, Rackspace and NASA, that had a real problem that they needed to solve. They needed greater scalability. They needed the ability, in NASA's case, to have multi-terabyte files in their cloud that they could work with when they were working.
And we may have lost Rich there. Gareth, you want to jump in here with any questions? I think we still have Dave on the line.
Yeah, Dave, you're still there?
I am.
Okay. At some point it was mentioned that there's a lot of kind of like similar projects, products around similar to RDO. And I know that Red Hat has their own kind of commercial OpenStack solution. Can you kind of talk about what the difference is and the relationship between RDO and Red Hat's commercial solution?
So as I said earlier, RDO is following the tip. It's following the latest and greatest in some sense of what you're getting from upstream OpenStack. So when we're shipping a product to customers, we will typically have a period of 2 to 3 months where we do intense integration testing, we ramp up a support effort, and all of the productization that gets done on top of an open source project kicks in at that point. So what we're delivering to customers is something that we're prepared to support long term.
Okay.
Yeah. The key difference is in terms of these. Yeah, the support, the solidity, the testing and stability that we bring to an OpenStack release.
So would it be a fair statement to kind of compare the Fedora release? I know like Fedora and Red Hat Enterprise are related in many ways. Would it be a fair statement to say that there's a similar relationship between RDO and Red Hat's commercial OpenStack solution?
You can think of it that way, but I think the delta is much smaller than what you have between Fedora and Red Hat Enterprise Linux. It's more like perhaps Overt and Rev, where we've got an open source project which is moving rather quickly, but there is a product that's built off very regular sync points there, whereas perhaps Fedora and RHEL have diverged significantly in recent years.
Okay, so if someone wanted kind of the latest and greatest on a Red Hat similar system, they would go with RDO versus someone that wanted something that's going to be rock solid and stable and they know is always going to work, they would go with the commercial solution.
Well, I think one of the key differentiators that you're getting with the commercial solution is also the partner ecosystem, all of the certification of applications and vendors that are coming along with it, so that when you're building out a cloud, you're never just building the software. You're building on top of hardware, you're working with network providers, you're working with storage, you're working with compute providers, people selling you hardware and servers. Going with Red Hat on your infrastructure as a service is you're bringing in all of the certification work that we've done with partners there.
So if someone is using RDO, what is their options for support?
So it's RDO's community supported explicitly. Oh, Rich is back. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, my connection came back up.
So RDO has... do you want to take that?
Sure. the RDO website at openstack.redhat.com has a forum there where there's a lot of discussion around solving problems that come up either during the installation or configuration. There's also the ask.openstack.org website, which is a larger OpenStack community where there's discussion around all sorts of OpenStack-related stuff. We have a couple mailing lists, both on the development side and on the end-user side, where people can get help with their problems.
So is it mostly community-based support?
That's right, yeah. There's an IRC channel as well.
Okay. So, I mean, if someone was interested in paying for, if they wanted to use RDO, they wanted to be kind of have the latest OpenStack Red Hat solution, but they wanted to pay for support, what are their options there?
So there's basically about a two-month lag between the release of an OpenStack release upstream and the release of Red Hat OpenStack. So I would say, you know, if you want a commercial solution, there are a number of companies who will sell you a commercial OpenStack which will run on top of Red Hat Enterprise Linux. I think that Red Hat is probably the best placed to support its own operating system and its own distribution of OpenStack. So Red Hat OpenStack is about 2 months after it comes out. Red Hat Enterprise Linux OpenStack Platform is the full product name. And that comes out about 2 months after the OpenStack release. So I would push people in that direction. Let's test it out on RDO, figure out whether OpenStack is fitting the needs that you have, or whether perhaps a traditional virtualization is what you're really looking for. And then when you're ready for support, you pay for the supported product from Red Hat.
Okay. How much? Kind of switching gears a bit, but. Something I was curious about, how much code from RDO gets contributed back to kind of OpenStack proper?
All of it.
all of it. There is no code in RDO.
Okay. So we at Red Hat believe strongly in participating in the upstream community. The commercial offering will have some fixes from Trunk that are backported to the released version, but the RDO version itself is a packaging of the upstream, so there are no local fixes.
Okay, so there's like nothing added in, nothing changed. It's just raw OpenStack with packaged for Red Hat.
Exactly. The only RDO add-on is the tool that we use, PackStack. That's developed as an open source project itself, and all of the Puppet modules we use are available on StackForge, which is the repository of OpenStack Puppet modules. So it's all open source. It's all we do some integration to get everything working there, but Everything is we are a downstream. Everything is coming from upstream.
That's great. How about the commercial OpenStack? Is that in a similar vein, or is that kind of? I would imagine there's some bits in there that would not get contributed back. Maybe.
Well, even there. So, like I said, we'll have some fixes that are taken from Trunk and backported into the released version for the commercial release. And so those are already in the upstream. And then sometimes there will be fixes that are put into the upstream first. We do try to do everything in the upstream first. We're not really interested in maintaining a fork of the product. So it's really just a question of timing when it comes to the differences between the commercial version and RDO.
Okay. If someone wanted to get started with RDO, like today, if they were listening to the show and they thought, like, wow, that sounds really exciting, I want to play with that, what would be their first step?
So you go to openstack.redhat.com. We've got a quick start link on there. Step zero is install an operating system, so RHEL or CentOS or Scientific Linux or Fedora. Step two is install a release RPM, which will enable the RDO repository on your newly installed operating system. Install your updates to bring your OS up to date. And then you install the PackStack package, and you run PackStack. And that's the end of it, pretty much.
And that gives you, like, what do you get after that? After PackStack is run, what do you have? Are you ready to go with OpenStack, or do you kind of need to? Is it at that point? I guess is it the OpenStack documentation that you would be following, or is there kind of more that you would need to do to get your OpenStack server online?
Right. So by default, we have a kind of a get started quick option, which is install everything on a single host. There are PackStack has a kind of answer files that it generates, which you can edit for more complicated configurations. So the number of basic ones that we see people want to use all the time are everything on a single host, one control node and multiple compute nodes. A separate networking node might be something that you see quite often. And all of those are fairly simple to do with PackStack. But the actual getting started would be for, let's say, an install which would allow you to test out with something with on a server which has enough memory. You'd be able to test out OpenStack and see what kinds of things you can do with it. If you want to do something more complicated, it can take a little bit more time. But it's still possible and relatively straightforward with PackStack. We do have quite a bit of documentation has been built up at this point on the RDO website, which is a wiki.
So I wanted to talk a bit about I think Rich mentioned it, the conference, the RDO. I think it was an RDO specific conference that happened.
No, OpenStack.
OpenStack.
OpenStack conference in Hong Kong.
Okay.
That was last week.
Gotcha. Can you guys talk a bit about kind of RDO, how RDO was seen or received at the conference?
Well, we had a lot of great conversations with people that are using RDO for deployments that are all sizes, from small businesses all the way up to one of our favorite stories is CERN. CERN, the nuclear research facility in Europe, is using RDO, and they use it for their large-scale calculations around their particle collider and other physics experiments they're doing. So, yeah, there's a lot of great stories around RDO. There's a lot of exciting companies that are using it for a wide variety of things, from education to compute to large storage solutions.
So this, you may have answered my next question with the CERN story, but I was going to ask what the most interesting use case that you've seen of someone using RDO for?
So CERN is obviously a great story. One of my favorites is universities. And I talked to a number of universities at LinuxCon that are using RDO to manage their classes. And it gives professors a way to easily spin up virtual machines for their students without having to talk to the IT staff. And, you know, having worked on the IT staff at a university, I know that the frustration that professors can have trying to request new services. And so this, by using OpenStack, they can give students a way to spin up new virtual machines or manage that for them and then easily clean up at the end of the semester.
So, excuse me, kind of along those lines, do you think that this is just kind of like an OpenStack question in general? Do you think that this will change the dynamic? And like, I mean, you mentioned the universities and the professors having trouble requesting machines and going to OpenStack. And I've heard this in a lot of the companies now where they're switching to OpenStack for the sole reason of being able to have more control over provisioning of their virtual machines or even just their switching to virtualized servers, so they want to have more control over it. Do you think this will shift kind of the dynamic in companies if they're using OpenStack and similar tools?
I think it already has started to shift the dynamic. You're seeing with Amazon, you mentioned earlier, the move to elastic computing, the move to being able to do like software infrastructure as code, right? Being able to code and script the way that machines get brought up and provisioned has been a revolution in the way IT is managed. You're talking about companies that have 10,000 to or more servers per sysadmin now, where I remember back in the 90s, we were talking about 4 or 5 Windows servers per sysadmin and 50 to 60 Linux servers per sysadmin. And we're talking about 10,000 servers per sysadmin now. So it's a huge change in the way the industry has gone. And, you know, there are kind of people who are on the avant-garde there. The DevOps movement has really embraced the tools and the culture required to make that change, and moving to automation and moving to metrics and the sharing of resources wherever possible. You know, some of the things that are interesting to me are the way that it's divorcing the operations side of the things to the actual deploying infrastructure. And then the next step, of course, is how do you make it easy for people to just develop applications and not even have to care about what the VMs are like or what the caching is like or whether your application is scale out or not. And that's maybe where platform as a service is going to come in and become vitally important on top of infrastructure as a service, because it makes people take advantage of all of the flexibility and the elasticity of infrastructure as a service without having to care about how all of that stuff works.
So I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about, without getting you guys in trouble or making you feel uncomfortable, a little bit about competition in this space, because this is a really hot space right now in the IT industry, cloud in general, but OpenStack specifically, like you mentioned before, is really seems to be taking off. And I kind of wondered if you could comment about a couple of things I've been thinking about as you guys have been talking. One is, again, without opening old wounds too much here, Oracle has taken Red Hat, right, and kind of brought it in-house, and they offer Oracle Linux, which is essentially Red Hat with some stuff thrown on top, is the way I'll describe it. Is there anyone doing that with RDO? I mean, you mentioned before that there were vendors that would offer support, but I'm just wondering if anyone is taking RDO or if you're seeing any interest in taking RDO and have some spin-off company go off and like do their own thing based on RDO and then offer the support and everything, but basically making their own ABC RDO distribution off of it.
We haven't seen that yet, I was just looking for a name here. We talked with a company in Hong Kong that was doing a similar thing, and that they were packaging, building an appliance for CentOS, and
United Stack.
United Stack, that was the name of it. And in that case, it's more a question of talking with them to cooperate on the same packaging, the same stack. So, you know, Dave mentioned a term earlier, coopetition, and we see a lot of that. We are cooperating on the stack, and we're competing more on the services that come after that, and what happens on top of the stack.
Yeah, I would say, Aaron, it probably doesn't make much sense to talk about people taking RDO and making kind of commercial offerings on top of RDO, because it's tracking upstream so closely. It's people are taking OpenStack and making product offerings on top of OpenStack. And we're seeing certainly lots of those. Some of them are targeting Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and some of them are targeting other operating systems. And, you know, what it's going to come down to is who can support it best, who has the most knowledge about OpenStack in-house, and that's who's going to get the mind share and the support revenue for OpenStack. But again, as Rich said, I think OpenStack is a platform, and perhaps most of the value from OpenStack is going to be from people developing applications and developing application stacks on top of OpenStack, rather than people, you know, specifically making money supporting OpenStack. It's going to be things like the management tools, it's going to be the deployment tools, it's going to be how do we orchestrate services on top of that, how do we make people's lives easier when they're using infrastructure as a service. I think that's where most of the revenues are going to be.
Right. And you mentioned other Linux providers, and again, I don't want to get too deep into competition here, but I do want to understand. I've always been interested in, you know, I think Ubuntu announced the other day that they're opening up some sort of specialization for OpenStack or something. And then there was a question from the chat room as well. Take IT2, I think it was, asked about OpenSUSE and SUSE. So I guess my question isn't necessarily for you guys to describe what they're doing. That's their thing, right? But at what level is there interoperability, or you know, do you guys get together at all and say, hey, you know, you guys are doing this, we're doing this, you know, let's collaborate on these specific bits and pieces and make sure they all work across various operating systems?
Yeah, that's one of the main things that happens at these OpenStack conferences. There's the user conference portion of it, but then there's also the designer summit, it's called, where the people from all of these different companies do get together and discuss the technical aspects of OpenStack, making it work across multiple platforms. Another interesting aspect is that OpenStack, the foundation, has an enormous test infrastructure where every time a change is committed to the code, it spins up dozens of virtual machines. It spins up OpenStack instances that manage them, and it does this across multiple platforms so that the continuous integration and testing does exercise all of the various platforms that it's deployed to.
There's also a very hot topic upstream right now, which is what is OpenStack? What does it mean to be an OpenStack stack? What does it mean to be part of the OpenStack core? And there's been significant progress made towards resolving that. So the idea there is to define a set of two things. First, to define a set of code which one must be running to call oneself OpenStack. So if you want to say Rackspace Cloud is an OpenStack cloud, for example, then there has to be Nova, which is the compute service in there. You have to be running Swift, which is the object store. You have to be running, I think, Neutron is another component that's going to be compulsory. And there are a number of things capabilities that have to be present for something to be called OpenStack. That's the code. And then there's OpenStack compatible, which is another kind of potential trademark process which is going to be put in place, and that's going to be which of these APIs and behaviors are available in the platform. So that's the way that you guarantee that somebody can deploy an application to one OpenStack cloud and move it easily to another.
So let me ask you this. This is you said this started out as a community kind of version or community project, right? So at what level can you describe at what level the community is involved? Is the community involved just in testing or documentation, or are there actually is there a board with with community members on it? I mean, what level of involvement is there in the actual community?
So mostly the involvement is in those things that you mentioned: testing, documentation, and supporting one another on the forum and on IRC. We have periodic test days where members of the community get together in the IRC channel and run through the RDO install process and configuration and share their notes on that. The tickets that are logged from that do tend to go in the upstream, except when they are specifically about the pack stack, and then they go in the Red Hat ticket tracking. But we do encourage the folks in the community to participate in the upstream. So there's not really a board per se. It's just the community support forums.
And then if you were to ask, I mean, what's the area where you would want the community to get involved? What areas are you really looking for input into the project in particular?
So RDO is a user community, so using is already a significant contribution, I would say. But certainly the places where we want to see people getting involved is in terms of supporting their fellow users, sharing that knowledge that they have when they run into trouble and get an answer to that question, sharing that knowledge and helping get that documented in the wiki, answering questions on the forum. I would say those are the key contributions. We're also in the process engaging with documentation and translation efforts. Rich, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's upstream.
That's right. Doing translation efforts both in the RDO specific stuff and also encouraging people to participate in translation upstream. I talked with a number of people in Hong Kong last week that were looking for a place to plug in, and translation and documentation are always great places for people to get started in any community.
Yeah, that's for sure. It seems like it's always the bane of any open source project's existence, right, is documentation and translation.
Right.
It seems like it's a never-ending request for people to get involved with that. But it's so crucial, too. I mean, it goes a long way towards getting people to adopt or take a look at your project if they can have it in the appropriate language, for example, or have the documentation needed to get started. Especially, I'm imagining with a project like this, I mean, there must be enormous amounts of documentation, because this isn't, if you've been listening to this, you hopefully you've got the idea that this is a really, it's kind of a complex system with lots of different modules. You can set up servers, these OpenStack servers in different ways, depending on what you need them to do. You can host some of these modules specifically with that in mind, or you can do multiple modules on the same server. So I mean, it gets kind of complex. So how much documentation exists now for people that want to get started? You mentioned the Quick Start Guide, which is great, but beyond that, where do people go if they want to go to the next level?
So there's a lot of documentation, and each one of the individual components has their own documentation, and then there is overarching documentation for, like you say, spinning up a cloud and getting everything to talk together. The documentation team for OpenStack is a collaboration across numerous different companies. There is a really strong core documentation team that have decades of experience with technical documentation. They have put together a book called The OpenStack Operator's Guide, which is available both online and also now from O'Reilly. There are many, many how-tos out there on OpenStack.org. On the RDO Wiki, there's a number of guides to setting up different configurations. Like you say, there's so many different ways you can set up OpenStack depending on what you're trying to do with it. And there's a number of those how-tos on our website. We're also working on a list of kind of PackStack recipes. So command lines that you would feed to PackStack to set up certain common configurations. But with something as complicated as this, the way that you do things differs so much from one situation to another that documentation is going to be an ongoing concern and a great place to get plugged in for the foreseeable future.
But let me repeat that one of the main things we wanted to achieve with RDO was to make it real damn obvious how you get started, right? So if you want to find a meaning in RDO, maybe that should be it.
So I think one of the companies, I hope I heard this right, and I'm not going to say this wrong, but I think one of the organizations that you guys mentioned that was using RDO was NASA.
Yeah, they were a founding member, yeah.
They were a founding member, that's right.
Wow. Can you talk, I mean, as much as you can, about what they're using it for, what they're using RDO for?
So to be clear, NASA was a founding member of the OpenStack project, not of RDO. And they're one of the lead developers on the project so far as code contributions. They're consistently up there in the top 10. And as I understand it, when they started with OpenStack, it was because the commercial provider that they were working with was unable to deal with the image sizes that they were bringing back from Mars. And so they would have multi-terabyte image files, and their commercial provider was simply unable to handle images of that size. And so they wanted an infrastructure where they could do that, where they could process these images and store them and have a certain degree of control over that software stack.
I see.
That's really interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, OpenStack was a marriage of... So NASA were looking for an object store, and they had... they had an object store and they needed a compute service, and Rackspace were working on a compute service and they needed an object store. And that's how OpenStack came about, is that Rackspace and NASA got together to pool their resources on those.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's always scratching your own itch, right?
That's right.
That gets these things going. And like I said, I like the fact that it wasn't just, we're going to do this and it's, you know, we're going to implement it. I mean, I like the fact that even though there's a lot of commercial vendors involved in OpenStack, it's still standards based. In other words, it's very important to come up with, like you say, ways to say, look, this is an OpenStack platform and this is not, right? So you have to include these, whatever, 5 things, 10 things, 20 things, whatever it is. And we're going to make that a standard, and then that will be considered OpenStack. Now, certainly there's, you know, like I said, there's commercial vendors. My company's involved. Red Hat's involved. There's people that want a kind of a piece of the pie, so to speak. But the fact that it's set up in a standardized way is very important, because that doesn't let necessarily one company or one commercial effort necessarily dominate the whole thing. So
that's right.
Can you talk a little bit about, are you guys familiar with the way that whole process works in terms of OpenStack, how things get decided on and things like that?
Sure. Yeah, so there's a very stark separation between the organizational involvement in OpenStack, which is, you know, money to the foundation, and kind of a corporate seat on the board of directors of the foundation, and the way the technical governance of the project works. So each project in OpenStack has a PTL, a project technical leader, who is essentially the maintainer of the project. And those people are initially the founders, but those positions are up for election every year. So if a founder ever, what's the word I'm looking for that will be radio friendly, annoys a significant portion of the contributor community to the project, then they can vote him out, right? They can vote somebody else into that position. Which is a very unusual situation. A lot of open source projects, it's if you're the benevolent dictator, you are the benevolent dictator for life. So OpenStack has included a way for people to kind of have bloodless revolts every now and again. And then on top of each of these projects, you've got what's called a technical committee, which used to be each project technical leader and a number of people elected from the the technical contributors, so people who had committed code to the project in the previous 2 years. That's now been changed. PTLs no longer get an automatic seat there. All of the positions are elected. And in fact, some of the PTLs have chosen not to run for election, which only goes to show you that it was the right decision to remove that automatic allocation of seats to PTLs. So that technical committee, then they work on the interoperability and the integration points between the various modules, and kind of an overarching technical governance of the project and what the directions need to be in that sense.
Interesting. I'm just glad there's governance for my from my standpoint, because I think if you've been in the IT industry long enough, you've seen where a lot of these things start with the best intentions and then they kind of dissolve into, you know, a couple of companies coming in and taking over. And so, you know, just the fact that there is governance, I think, in itself, and there are standards, I think, is very, very important. So I'm glad to see those. But we should all continue to push for those things. To make sure that that does not change anytime in the future. So I've got a couple of wrap-up questions. We're just about out of time, but there's a few questions that we always ask folks. I assume that you guys dip your hands into scripting and coding yourselves every once in a while. So one of the questions we always like to ask is, what is your favorite scripting language?
Well, I've been a Perl programmer for most of my professional career, and so I'd have to go with Perl.
I'm kind of partial to awk, but I'll probably say bash.
Awk, wow.
If that counts as a scripting language. Yeah.
No, bash definitely counts. Bash definitely counts, absolutely. I think that Randall, the spirit of Randall, who is not here today, will be very glad to hear those answers, both of those. And then what about your favorite editor? What editor do you like to use?
I'm a Vim user.
Yay.
Me too.
Woohoo. So that's a strike for Randall. He'll be scowling as he listens to this, I'm sure, as he's an Emacs user. But I prefer Vim as well if I'm on the command line, for sure. Hey, Gareth, what about you? I haven't since I haven't been on a podcast with you yet, what editor do you prefer?
Oh, I'm a Vim guy.
Yeah, we dominate, you know. Yeah. So us Vim guys, yeah, we're cool. We're cool like that. Well, Dave and Rich, thanks for coming on today. It's been great to have you here to talk to us about RDO. Encourage everyone to go check it out, which they can do at, I believe you said it was openstack.redhat.com, correct?
That's right. Right. Thanks so much for having us.
You bet. Is there any last thoughts before we break off? Anything that you would want that we didn't talk about that you want to make sure people are aware of?
I think you covered everything pretty well.
Okay.
And thanks so much again for having us.
Yeah, you bet. I think it was a very interesting show. Like I said, we've talked about OpenStack before. We've certainly talked about cloud again and again on this show because it is such a hot topic right now and lends itself very well to open source and open source projects. So, Gareth, what do you think about RDO?
No, it definitely sounds interesting. I like the approach that they're taking. excuse me, a frog in my throat. I like the approach they're taking by... When I asked the question of, like, how much code was contributed, and it was like, well, everything and nothing, because they're really not changing anything. If you're using RDO, you're basically getting OpenStack. So that's really good to see. And it's good to see that the discussion of the foundation around OpenStack, I always like to see... I'm always glad to see that sort of stuff. Like you said, like the governance that kind of maintains... Some standards across the board.
Yeah, I think it's very easy, and I've noticed companies doing this to kind of jump on the open source bandwagon and say, hey, we have an open source version, but you know, it doesn't include X, Y, or Z, and there's really no community involvement. We're just putting it out there because, you know, we want to attract people to whatever it is we're trying to sell,
right.
You know, which I just think is really disingenuous. When I see that happening. But, you know, I think in this case, it's good that people are actually, you know, contributing back. They can get involved. And it seems like it would be a good place to learn about OpenStack and cloud computing if you want to get started with it. It seems like it would be a good place to start your journey, so to speak, in setting something like this up. I know it's not necessarily for beginners, but, you know, we're assuming people have some experience already, either with OpenStack or certainly with Linux and maybe with Red Hat, then they can kind of jump in here and say, oh, I'll run this, install this on a server, as opposed to installing something else and maybe get, you know, maybe just like an open be able to write to an open storage API or something like that from a Java application or something like that. It seems like it would be a good place to at least get your feet wet, and certainly a good way to keep track of what's coming down the pipe from the official version, if that's your thing. So
yeah, I mean, one of the things that I did like that Dave said was that in terms of getting started and being someone that's new to it, you have the ability to, you have one server, you deploy everything to that server, and there you are. You can try it out. I know the first time I looked at OpenStack, it was, well, I need this number of compute servers, I need this like separate network servers, and it was like overly complicated for just like exploring it and just trying it out. Whereas with the RDO option of having everything in one contained server, it lets you try it out first and then later customize it to how you want to break things out.
Right, exactly. All right, so that's RDO. Let's talk about what's coming up next on Floss Weekly, or in the coming weeks. Coming up on November 20th, I believe, Gareth, you and Simon, perhaps, it wasn't really clear from the spreadsheet, who's taking charge, but I believe Randall's still going to be away. So we're going to be talking about Crossroads.io. Crossroads.io, it's kind of a Lego bricks for building scalable, high-performance distributed applications. At least that's what the website says. It also says it's a fork of the ZeroMQ project. So if you're familiar with ZeroMQ, this might be interesting for you to take a look at. Basically, it's supporting different networking protocols and providing some glue in between applications as they're communicating back and forth. At least that's how I understand it. We'll find out next week. And then on December 4th, I will be back hosting, talking about Amahi, which is software that runs on a dedicated PC in your house to do things like a media server, storage, computing. I think there's some apps that you can load on it to do things. It's supposed to be pretty easy to deploy, but in case you don't want to get down and dirty with things, but you want to have like a home server that does a lot of different things in terms of recording TV and sharing up videos and things like that, and you want to do it easily, Amahi might be for you. So we're going to be talking about that on December 4th. And then on December 11th, I believe Randall will be back to talk to the folks over at FreePBX, which is an open source web-based PBX. If PBX is a telephone system, basically, is what it means. And it allows you to customize and adapt to your changing needs, whatever you need to do with a telephone system. So I'm guessing this would probably be most interesting for small businesses or maybe even large businesses, because it says that companies of all sizes and types actually run on FreePBX, from Soho to multi-location corporations and call centers. So it allows you to do all those things that you would do with a commercially available telephone system, but using FreePBX, which is an open source project. So definitely want to check that out as well. If you want to get people on the show, and I know you do, you will want to actually get in touch with their project leaders or project managers and have them get in touch with Randall directly, merlin@stonehedge.com, and they can kind of set things up. So it works best if we actually get the people with the project in touch with Randall instead of a fan of a project in touch with Randall, because then it just creates more confusion. So we're trying to eliminate those multiple points of contact as much as possible. So if you want to do that, you can. You can also follow us. We are at Floss Weekly on Twitter. We are plus Floss Weekly on Google Plus, and you'll find that I did not post for the show today, but I will do that as soon as we're done, I promise. Sorry about that, Randall. And you can also follow us live. We're at live.twit.tv, 8:30 Pacific time on Wednesdays. You can follow us. You can watch the show live or participate in the chat, which is irc.twit.tv. And we do try to take questions from chat when we can get to them. I'd rather have the listeners' questions answered necessarily than my questions, because that's what people are interested in. So that's it for me at least as far as the show is concerned. Gareth, where can people find out more about what you're doing and what you're talking about?
So I'm on Twitter at Gareth Greenaway. I'm on Google Plus. I don't have one of those special names, but people search me, they can find me. I'll plug my usual plug, Scale. So Scale is the Southern California Linux Expo, happening in February 2014 in Los Angeles, California. People can find more about it at the website, socallinuxexpo.org. And if they're interested in attending, they can use the promo code FLOSS for a 50% discount, or if they're interested in speaking, we still have our taking presentations for our call for papers.
Maybe I should submit a presentation this year.
I thought about doing it
every year, and then I never get around to it. But you did announce, I think, Brendan Gregg, right, is going to be one of the keynotes this year.
Yeah, so
cohort of mine at Sun. He worked on the storage stuff at Sun, and brilliant guy, by the way. Just absolutely brilliant. Does a lot of work on Solaris these days, but.
Yeah, no, we announced that a couple of weeks ago, I think, our first keynoter, yeah, like you said, Brendan Gregg. So
yeah.
He's going to be talking about, I believe, what Linux can learn from Solaris as far as like performance tuning and that. I believe he's ported or is in the process of porting dtrace to Linux.
Yeah, I talked to him.
So that'll be a really good keynote.
I talked to him at Scale a couple years ago, and he was mentioning that they might start working on that, which is really cool. Dtrace is fantastic, so porting it to Linux would be really, really cool in terms of doing performance analysis and things. So awesome. Okay, enough about Scale. Let's stop talking about that. You can follow me at on Google Plus is where I usually hang out. You can go to plus.google.com/plus Aaron Newcomb. I think you can just do Aaron Newcomb and it'll get you there. I do have one of those special URLs. I just got it, actually. And Gareth, I'm sure you'll get yours soon. But that's where I hang out most of the time. So, you know, I might start a hangout there. Or that's where I post videos and pictures and stuff that I'm working on. So if you're interested in open source software or making stuff or open hardware or Android or Google or any of those things that I talk about a lot, follow me there. You can also follow me here on the Twit Network, where I am an occasional co-host, not only of this show, but also This Week in Google, All About Android, and many others. Right, John? Okay, Tech News Today sometimes. That's right. There's all kinds of shows here. And occasionally you'll see me jumping in the co-host chair. That will do it for this week of Floss Weekly. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, as Randall says, we'll see you next time on Floss Weekly.